No, we're talking to you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to In the Know with Oshiniwa, highlighting independent artists and their music. I'm your host, Oshiniwa, and I hope you all are having a lovely evening. Now, tonight, my featured guest is 3/5. I had this artist on as a highlighted artist last month, and tonight I have him on as a featured guest. But before we get started, for all you artists out there who would like to get your music played on the IL Radio Show, please listen to this.
If you are an artist and you would like to get your music played on the Internet L Radio Show, you may do so by emailing us at ilradio@internetlenc.com. Again, that email address is ilradio@internetlenc.com.
All right, everyone. Tonight, I have 3/5 on with me. 3/5, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, Haniwa, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you for being on with me tonight. So, I thank you for that. And how was your holidays?
No doubt. I appreciate y'all for having me on. Holiday season was good, man. I hadn't been home to St. Louis in probably, 7 years. So going back to the crib to see the family was a good time. Way too cold, but it was a good time.
All right. I know up here where I'm at, we had our little bit of coldness, but we didn't have it like you guys did. No.
How about you?
Mine was good. Unfortunately, I got sick. I'm not gonna lie. It started on Christmas night. So from that point on, it kind of went a little downhill. But I'm slowly coming back into form. I still have that nasalness in my throat from the phlegm, but other than that, I'm doing a lot better.
So, you got to be safe out here. A whole lot going around.
It is. Well, with you being down home and being gone for so long, how did you adjust to the cold weather?
You know, it was tough because, you know, I don't got no real winter clothes no more because, I mean, in the past, you know, last past 6 years living here in Florida, the coldest it's gotten was like maybe 40 degrees on a bad night. So, you know, take a decent jacket and sweater and you good. But, you know, going from that to negative 22 and having that last with you for almost a whole week, yeah, man, I don't got them clothes no more. So that was a that was a culture shock. But all it was, you know, pretty much stay in the house when it's too cold. You know, we couldn't even get out and do the things we wanted to do while we were up there. 3 out of the 7 or so days that we were there, we ain't even leave the house. Too cold.
Yeah. Well, that's winter for you. That's a lie. People complain about having.
I told my people we put presents under palm trees down here. They're gonna have to come see me next year.
There you go. Change it up.
Exactly.
So, with going back to visit your family and all that, I know they must have been stunned to see because it had been so long. Yeah. When starting off your career, into music, how did they feel you going and becoming an artist? Did they support you?
They've been super supportive from day one.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been super supportive. So my dad, actually, back when he was in college, He actually recorded a music video way back in the day. And he was a DJ coming up. He was actually one of the top event DJs in St. Louis for a while. So, you know, it was kind of always in the blood. My little sister actually lives overseas where she performs music full time. She went to Berklee School of Music playing violin. My little brother plays, he's a DJ and he makes beats. So, you know, it's just kind of in the, it's kind of in the genes. So for me, it was a little bit different because I never really wanted to be a rapper. Because I was like, you know, it's enough black entertainers out there that we need to see something different. But, you know, sometimes it's just, it's not about what you want to do. It's just kind of about what you were called to do, you know, what God put in your heart. So I was going to go to law school. And then one of my homies at the time was writing. And he was writing. He had just wrote a top dance record for Cat DeLuna. And so he hit me up one day. We went out, hung out at some girl's wedding. And, you know, anytime I get drunk, it's freestyle time. So we all having a good time at the wedding, you know, have a few drinks, go out to the parking lot, play a few beats, and I'm just kind of going in. And he was like, man, I knew you was good, but I didn't know you could really rap like that. He said, you got to get in the studio. He said, I can help you. I manage, do whatever you need. Let's help put your music out. And so, you know, my first studio session, I recorded Dive In Deep, which is one of the tracks I got to hear. And then my very second studio session, I did a whole mixtape. And I let my parents hear it, and they were like, yo, you good. You got our blessing. Keep going. So and okay. I ain't look back.
All right. So how old were you at that time?
This was 10 years ago. So I was 25.
Okay. All right. So with this not being what you originally wanted to do, but it was your calling.
Mm-hmm.
How did you?
Yeah.
What was your mindset when you were like, okay, you know, I want to be this attorney. Now I have another calling, and it is your actual true calling. How did you adjust with that?
Oh, I mean, for me, it was pretty straightforward because, you know, I don't necessarily think of being an attorney was my dream. You know, it was just kind of, you got to play it safe, you know, had that safe career that established, you know, that name that puts you out there, that respectable career. But, you know, for me, the things I've always loved music and I've always loved cars. So, you know, transitioning from thinking about going to law school, the other thing I've been doing is living in this dealership world, selling cars. You know, right now, my own wholesale dealer. So, you know, for me, I got a line in one of my new songs. I say, sell a bar, sell a car, forget it. If this music sells, it don't matter. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to be cool. So, you know, transitioning to the music side of it was really just kind of, honestly, it was more of a release. It wasn't that I was even necessarily looking to do it as a career as much as it was just mm-hmm. me taking my journal and recording it, you know, because I've always written music, and that was kind of the way that I cope, the way that I deal with kind of the everyday stresses. So finally recording it and letting other people share with me, that was a big deal, you know. So when other people finally started listening and I put out my first project, because my first project, it was a underground mixtape called Raspberry Rum. I shared it with like 100 people because I just kind of wanted to get it to the ears of folks whose musical opinion I trusted. So I put it in the emails of some folks that I knew, and then there was a couple of other folks who I gave kind of a physical copy to. I was like, hey, all I need you to do is listen to this. Tell me if I'm whack. If I'm whack, I'm just going to go ahead and go to law school. If I ain't whack, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I ain't get one person tell me to hang it up and go to law school. So it worked out.
Okay. You said you write all your songs. So when you're writing your songs, is there anything special that you do to get your creative flow moving?
It really kind of depends on the type of song. You know, for the most part, the songs write themselves. you know, I get myself to the point, you know, if I'm going through something, the song will just write itself. If it's not a case where I'm going through something and I'm just kind of, you know, I want to vibe out to this beat, producer sent me this beat, told me to lay something on this, and I'm trying to tie into my concept, you know, my favorite spot to write is I sit in the back, you know, light up a cigar, sit there, listen to some music, look outside, and it just kind of comes to me that way. But there's also quite a few songs that I don't actually write anything, so I just kind of go to the booth and kind of try and pull my Jay-Z with it, let the beat play a couple times, and then just lay it down.
Okay. Now, with rap artists and everything that's going on right now, you're kind of a unique artist. How do you differentiate yourself from the other rap artists that are out today?
I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, so when you look at, I think, the folks that are out today, you know, you kind of got a couple of different lanes. I'm more of like the conceptual type artist. You know, everything I do, you know, the name Three Fifths is inspired by the Three Fifths Compromise, and black people were considered three fifths of a person, less than human. So everything I do is kind of historically conceptual. So whenever I make a project or get to, you know, making my music, you kind of know what kind of background I'm coming from. Versus, you know, I think a lot of cats are making just kind of either everyday life music, party music. I try and blend all of that with something that's kind of going to progress. So if I'm going to, you know, the folks that I get compared to the most, Ludacris, I get compared a lot to. I've heard Kendrick a few times, Crit. You know, that's kind of the type of vibe, the type of lane that if I got to put myself in one, that's the way I go.
All right. Your flow, was it something that you gradually grew into from when you originally started? Was that something from the beginning, or was it? Hello?
No, it was pretty natural from the beginning. It was just, like I said, music is really kind of in my DNA. It's kind of second nature. So, you know, the overall flow for it, you know, the lyricism. I used to write spoken word and perform spoken word with a black-on-black rhyme. So that part of it has kind of always connected. I think the thing that's evolved over time is the actual sound, you know, meaning, you know, kind of the tonation, learning how to, you know, control my voice to a certain level, you know, being able to blend myself to more diverse sounds. Because, you know, when I first came out, I was kind of on that woke brother type stuff, you know. Even before my first project, you know, back when I was writing the poetry, it was just kind of from a standpoint of, you know, almost like some revolutionary style. But as I've matured as a person and as, you know, the music has evolved, it's kind of become more of a everyday type of listenability, you know, because even when I look at some of my oldest work, I say, all right, well, I don't think I could listen to this song in every mood. And that's something that I've worked on, you know, over the time to make sure that the music I make is something you can listen to when you're in a good mood, bad mood, you know, happy, sad, new relationship, just broke up with somebody, whatever the case may be, you know. So that's I think, what was developed over time.
Okay. So as you were saying, the flow and the feel of what was going on, what is it that you listen to when you are just relaxing at home, doing nothing?
I got a very diverse taste in music. When it comes to hip-hop, you know, the person who inspired me to start writing was Tupac. You know, I went through a very low phase in my life at one point, and I feel like God spoke to me through Tupac, you know, hearing that after every dark night comes a bright day, you know, life goes on. You know, so Tupac is definitely my main go-to when I want to write something, and I'm typically I get most inspired when it comes to writing by Nas, because, you know, that's Tupac is forever going to be my GOAT. But when I talk about who's going to be right there with him, 1A and 1B, you know, it's Tupac and Nas. Outside of listening to that, you know, I like a lot of the Golden Era flow. I listen to a whole lot of Crit, listen to a lot of Nipsey, Earth Gang, Jid, Pac Div out on the West Coast. You know, I like a lot of the old West Coast music. I listen to a lot of soul. You know, I love, like, the old school. Listen to a lot of Rick James. That's my man's there. You know, sometimes I be having my off day where I just kind of want to listen to something else, you know, some kind of off the wall. So I go back and I listen to some OG 80s rock. You know, I like Bon Jovi. I like listening to some Guns N' Roses. I like some Journey, you know, all of that. And then, you know, I love Jill Scott, Neo Soul, Anthony Hamilton, Erykah Badu, some Lauryn Hill. You know, so it just kind of depends on what vibe you catch me in. When I'm riding through the street, Younger Than Thuggin', I like to listen to my Jeezy, you know, and cats like that, Jeezy, Future, some Gucci. So it just kind of depends on the vibe.
Okay. So this is what I want to do. I want to go ahead and play the first song right now, so my listeners can get a feel of who you are. All right, everyone. This first song that I'm going to be playing tonight, Big Drip, and it's by my featured artist, 3/5.
Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip. 5/5
I pull up with that two-tone roof gone, two stones a digit, and I'm too black, too strong, too gone to switch it. So until that tombstone suits on, exquisite, and it's too bad, move on. You close a living, cause I spit it how I live it. This vivid, this rosy rivets. I'm pulling up in a Hummer, these whipping civics, and slipping to how I get it. Depicting it by the minute, the Glock embedded like widgets. I spin it, the fidget, the damage in the digits. Boy, I got those chips. Too coming, and even if this song go brick, on my lines on big ballin' be the brand, doubled up 100 grand. I'm the man, and I got the upper hand like I stacked the deck. All trumps on these homies like the last elect. Snap your neck, clap your thighs when you see your pretty pretty pass by. Just know I got the whip on lean, the wrist on gleam, the top back. Just on sing, yo, bitch on team, her top back. Just on thing, ain't shit, so things I cop that. Tell me how the fuck you gon' top that.
Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip.
5/5 in this life, up and hit the scene, looking clean, hella crystalline, bring a lot of green, never seen, shine like bubble bean. Plus he got a fling with this queen, look like Mrs. Thing, like that lady fiend, living life like it's all a dream. Dream free the scheme, but the hustle sold all the cart. Never met the wheels, but I ain't lying, I had all the heart from a rough start. Me and mama in the shelter, now she sit on 5 acres and a baby flies Delta, and I'm stunting like a Delta, making haters see red, homie. Stroll on these homies like my favorite see red, homie. Missing be dead, homie. Granny would've loved it just to see her baby boy out here shining all in public. Perfect time to switch the subject. Scared money don't make it. Only thing I know for sure, real, real, never fake it. Let my lyrics paint me naked, homie. This me in the puff. From the rough to the bluffs, I could never get enough. That's cause my
whip on lean, the wrist on gleam, the top back. Just on sing, yo, bitch on team, her top back. This old thing ain't shit, some things I cop that. Tell me how the fuck you gon' top that. Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip.
5/5 in this life. Up and up and up. Jill team, looking clean, looking clean. Hella crystalline. Rock a lot of green. Never seen. Shine like Bubba Bean. Mean, looking clean, looking clean. Hella crystalline. Kick it the scene.
Looking clean, hella crystalline. Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip. Big Drip. Five minutes.
Okuniwa every Thursday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. All right, out there, for any listeners that may just be tuning in, that song I just played was Big Drip, and it's by my featured guest this evening, 3Fifths. So, what was the story behind Big Drip, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So, my man, shout out to Eugenius. My man made the beat. So, Eugenius, OG in the game. He actually been in the game since Sir Mix-a-Lot. He helped out on Sir Mix-a-Lot first album. Made the beat for Posse's on Broadway. So, I was actually in a booth with my brother, and he was making a song, asked me to jump on his track with him. And anytime I'm on somebody else's song, I just kind of like to freestyle. I want to hear their energy and just kind of match something to it. And when I was doing his song in my 16, I said something about, and I'm flopping this thing like Oppa Hummy Yip Yip. And when I said that, everybody in the booth just kind of stopped, like, yo, what did he just say? And then they ran it back a couple times. And after that, you know, like I said, it was a freestyle, but within the first couple seconds, everybody was like, man, I'm flopping it like Oppa, yep, yep. And I was like, man, that's got to be a hook on something. And my man Gene has sent me this beat. And, you know, as soon as you hear the beat, you automatically start swag walking a little bit with it. And I was like, yeah, that's the one. So, you know, I put that together, dropped the, you know, came out with the hook first. And from there, I knew exactly how I wanted to flow on it. You know, so it was a matter of, you know, 10, 15 minutes, write the song, hit the booth, and people was feeling it.
Okay. Now, like you said, it all came into place on its own, basically. How do you know, well, maybe in your opinion, how do you know if the song's going to be what you think a hit in your eyes?
You know, it's funny because within, you know, 5 seconds of either writing or recording a joint, I listen back to it and be like, yo, that's it. And then 10 minutes later, I probably hate the song. So then I don't like it again until I let somebody else hear it. Because you know how it is. As an artist, you're hypercritical of yourself. You know, you don't want to put out anything into the world. But I let one of my partners hear it. Somebody who, you know, don't really know me enough to kiss up to me, you know, but knows of me. So I was like, hey, put your ear on something. And I ain't let them know that it was me. I was like, hey, what you think about this song? It's an artist that I was listening to. And he was like, yo, this is far, like within 2 seconds, he banging his head. And he was listening to it before it got, you know, before the mixing and all of that. He was just listening to the rough, fresh out the studio cut. And he was like, yo, this is fire. I don't know who this artist is, but this is fire. And, you know, so from there, it was just like, all right, so I think I got something with this. And I let a couple other folks put their ear on it. But, you know, for me, it was just, that track itself was just fun. You know, obviously the hook come from, I'm a Avatar, The Last Airbender fan. I love that show. And, you know, the bison that they ride on is called Oppa. So I was like, all right, so I'm fly like Oppa. And when they tell Oppa to fly, it's yip, yip. So that's just kind of where that came from.
Okay. Question, as far as you yourself being an independent artist, do you prefer being more of an independent artist, or would you say you wouldn't mind being part of an actual label?
I mean, I like the route that I'm on because I like being in control of my own destiny, you know, because I want to make music that's meaningful. You know, I don't want to be on, I never want music to feel like a job where I have to record X number of songs this year. I got to put out X number of projects to satisfy my obligations, you know, or because of the budget that they spent. Now they want me to make this song, that song that I don't really necessarily vibe with. you know, or work with producers that I have no relationship with. I like to be able to, you know, do what I do, make the music that matters to me, and not have to worry about the rest of it.
Okay. I know that there was a time that you were gone. You were on a little hiatus. And during that time, were you still writing songs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so when I first put out my first couple projects, you know, I was, like I said, this was 10 years. And then I just kind of disappeared, fell off the map for six. Because, you know, I went through my own personal growth. I ended up getting married. And when I went through that, you know, my first thought process is, you know, you got to be reliable. You got to have that guaranteed source of income, you know, be that good provider. You know, so I went the safe route to take care of my wife and make sure that all of that is the household is taken care of. But I never stopped writing or recording. I actually recorded 2-3 full projects while I was out and just never put them out, just kind of, you know, let them sit. And, you know, at 2 years ago, when my cousin got killed, is what really inspired me to get back in the booth. It's what made me feel like, you know, God was kind of calling me, you know, to put out something new. So that's kind of what did that. You know, I was running a car dealership that ended up going bankrupt, you know, from a major company. The company itself went bankrupt. The dealership, we were super successful. But the company that owned the dealership went bankrupt. So they shut it down. And then just a couple months after that, my cousin gets killed. So it was just kind of a perfect storm of things coming together to put me back into this direction.
How did you handle all that chaos at that time to stay focused?
I mean, at the time, it was, you know, I'm a spiritual person, so a lot of prayer, you know, asking the Lord for some guidance and direction. But also at the time, I think I probably had a couple, you know, self-destructive type moments, you know, where you just kind of get lost on the other end of a bottle, you know, and really just kind of lose focus on what's going on. I was very, very distraught when my cousin got killed because he was more like my brother than my cousin. You know, we grew up together from the time we was little kids. And when I first started making music, when I recorded the Raspberry Rum project, he was in the booth with me the entire time. You know, when I first moved back to St. Louis after I graduated FAMU, he was the person I was kicking it with every day. So, you know, when he got killed, it was like, man, because he was honestly, as far as music goes, he was my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. You know, he used to DJ certain parties from time to time, and he'll put my stuff on and be live streaming. He played my song and know the word for word like I'm Tupac or something, you know, putting me out there like I'm some superstar, you know. So, like I say, when he died, it was very tough. You know, as far as the gig went, I wasn't really too concerned about that because, you know, when you get it, what you do, especially in the car business, you ain't really ever got to worry about not having, you know, income. But, you know, like I said, that was the devastating part for me. But again, through the grace of God, I got through that. And that's what brought me back to where I'm at.
Okay. So what I want to do now is I want to play another one of your songs.
Okay.
So this next song that I'm going to be playing for you is Blind the Sun. And it's by 3/5, my featured artist this evening.
Life, love, pursuit of my moment. I'm hoping that I never fail, praying only to prevail. I rise above and shine like I'm golden. I'll climb without the highest one. Shine my light until I blind the sun.
Fresh from the block, set a mode dot, where the folks clock. You can catch me on the soapbox by the dope spot, where they out there slinging coke rocks. Did a hope not shame, we got a toe long, trying to float back. about a loss. Baby, gotta eat change, think about a cost. But there's wolves in the street that are trying to take you off. Price your seat when you trying to be the boss. And you must creep when the people let you off. Can't hit the streets, so they're thinking that you soft. And you call your connect, trying to get a couple off. Blood to your neck, and the people rush you off. The blood to the deck, and you looking like a loss. Doc telling mama, she should probably cut you off. But off, top, she ain't even trying to hit her, so she dropped. But these friends, to the Holy Spirit, like, no.
Father, I just pray that you forgive him. He's just trying to make a play with cards that you've given him.
Synonym, understand his verb is for you sentence him. You got to wage war when your wage set is minimum. Giving them hell till I prevail through the fire. From a peasant to the present, out here trying to be the sire. Young black messiah, walking through the brimstone. And I done found my jewel, lace these verses with these.
I know it's my time, and you know I'm gonna get it. It's my time to shine, and I cherish every minute. No, this ain't about to close, and this ain't about to go. I've heard my share of stripes, now I'm shooting for the stars.
I just played was Blind the Sun, and it's by my featured guest this evening, 3/5. What was the concept behind Blind the Sun?
I was actually inspired by my cousin. So when I first moved back to St. Louis, you know, my cousin was kind of into the street life. And actually, one day, I'm kicking it with him. And he was like, hey, roll with me right quick. I got to go to my partner's house and pick something up. And we sit in a spot for about 30, 45 minutes. And, man, that's when I realized, all right, we sitting in a trap right now. And I was like, yo, cuzzo, you know, I love you to death, man, but you can't be pulling me up into the trap. I mean, I just got out of college. I mean, I got me a good job, all of that. I can't be sitting up in here in case some crazy stuff go down. You know, and he and I had a you know, brief falling out over that for about a week. And then he was like, you was right, cousin. I shouldn't have never brought you out there. And, you know, that's when I wrote this song, because it was just like me kind of trying to write something as a person watching him, who cares about him, kind of the outside in type of look. So I kind of wrote it between a combination of my perspective and his perspective. You know, obviously you're doing what you got to do, because the jobs you work in, you're getting minimum wage. That's what I say, you know, when you got a wage war, when your wage set is minimum, you know, so it's like I'm out here hollering at my cousin out here in the trap trying to show him a different way. But, you know, danger is always lurking every set of it. But once you put that feeling, that faith in yourself, that faith in God, and work on something, you know, you're going to shine so hard that you go out and blind the sun. Like, once you really commit and find your purpose and, you know, do what you're supposed to be doing out here, your potential is unrivaled. You know, so that was where that came from.
Okay. Now, I noticed on the song that we heard other artists that were on there singing. Who else did you collaborate with on this song?
So I wrote 100% of it. The woman you hear singing on there, that's actually my little sister, the one I was talking about that lives overseas. And then the guy living in the background vocals, that's my homie. You know she lying. He's a cool cat out of Atlanta, dope artist, independent artist, doing his thing up there.
Okay. So when you were writing the song, did you think of them specifically, or did it just all fall in kind of into place?
I knew I wanted a woman with a strong vocal on there. You know, obviously in my grand scheme of things, when I'm a superstar, you know, in the back of my head, I was going to have Rihanna sing on it. But obviously I ain't got no Rihanna pockets. And I'm like, all right, well, the strongest singer I know is my sister, and she could blow. So I gave it to her, and she just absolutely did what she does. She killed it. And my homie, you know, he was actually in the studio because we were working on something else. And at the time, I'm like, hey, bro, you know, lend some vocals on this. Just kind of give me like a mid-range melody on this. You know, I need something to kind of break up between what I'm doing on my side and what my sister got going on. And it just, to me, it came out exactly the way I wanted it to.
Okay. With all that going on, one thing I've always wanted to know, when dealing with artists, has anyone given you advice that either helped you along the journey or would have sidetracked you along your journey?
Of course. you know, in the world of trying to make it as an independent artist, you know, you get a lot of good and bad to go along with it, you know, so when I released my first full-length project, Birth of a Nation, we ended up doing a ton of work in the streets with that project. We actually had my homie Streets of Real put me on game with some folks out in Cali. I had a whole street team going down, and it was out there in the streets selling. They sold 20,000 copies of that project in the street at $5 a copy. You know, and it was a great look, but unfortunately they was doing some things that they shouldn't have been doing. So despite the project itself making $100,000, I ain't see none of it, because it was some things behind that ended up causing that music to or those sales to be deemed illegitimate. You know, I can't get too deep into the you know, specifics on that, but it just kind of ain't work out. And then just kind of moving on from there, you know, you see, we spending all of this money on advertising with this person, you know, promoting with that person, and you only see, you know, small gains out of it. And you know, that's when I ended up actually working with one of my cousins who used to run Cumulus Media. He was the senior program director for Cumulus Media. And he actually put me in contact with quite a few well-known faces in and around Atlanta who were able to tell me, you know, hey, here's some different things you should work on. You know, showed me how to get my music on Nielsen SoundScan. You know, showed me, you know, I know what a BDS was, DBS, and they put me on game as far as knowing how to track my music, how to make sure I knew to get all the money I was looking to get out of it, you know, how to make sure all of that was properly aligned. My partner that I told you about when I was first freestyling, the one that convinced me to start rapping in the first place, he and I had a big falling out, you know, after that first project push, because his whole mentality was on to the next, on to the next, on to the next, no promo. And had I listened to him, I never would have performed, you know, I performed this first project everywhere from Toronto to Miami. You know, and I was selected to perform in the Canadian Music Week, you know, one of few U.S.-born artists during that year that I went up there to be selected. So it was just a whole lot of things that went on. But honestly, my cousin was the one who gave me probably the best advice was when me and my mans fell out. Because I was like, hey, F everybody else, is me, you, and whoever else want to be down. And all you got to do is dig your head down into it, learn this business, and let's grind. And that's what we did.
Okay. Now, you said that you've performed in different places and things like that. Do you still, I know probably in the beginning, did you ever get nervous? And if you did, do you still get those feelings, or were you able to work around all that?
So when I was back in like middle school, high school, I used to perform in plays. So I was used to being in front of people, you know, record performing scripts and whatnot. So when I started rapping and performing in front of people, it was kind of like second nature. You know, obviously you get a little bit of a jitter just because you never know how the crowd is going to take you. But the first show I did in St. Louis, I did it with my homie Mark Goon. We packed out Cicero's, RIP Cicero's, ain't there no more, great venue. But we packed Cicero's and the crowd was loving you, boy. So, you know, that was when it really hit for me, like, yo, people actually rock with my music. And, you know, from that point on, anytime I performed, it really wasn't a feeling of nervousness. It was just kind of, you know, I'm back where I'm supposed to be. It felt good. You know, it's kind of like its own natural high.
Well, it seems like because you've been, like you said, doing it for so long, you were able to overcome those feelings. If you were to give advice to anyone who's starting new right now in this industry, what would you tell them?
You got to recognize the balance of time and money, you know, because at the end of this day, that's what it comes down to. You either got all the time in the world or all the money in the world. Most of us don't have that, so you got to be able to understand that balance and to read and understand this business, you know, because talent obviously helps, but you have to have a strong business acumen, especially if you want an independent route. You got to understand how to market yourself, because labels really don't sign artists anymore. You know, they sign business partners. They don't sign people because they believe in that person anymore. They sign in them because they believe it's the most sure way to get their money back or to get their investment back. You know, so make sure that you spend your money wisely, spend your time wisely. You know, don't fall for the scams, all the folks on Instagram and direct messaging you and whoever else that can try and sell you on some instant gratification. You're going to blow up overnight if it sounds too good to be true. It 100% is, you know, and if somebody promising you they're going to get you You know, I'm going to get you 1 million views on YouTube for $150. Your YouTube is about to be banned tomorrow. You know, so don't fall for the scams. Don't listen to the fakes. If you don't have, it's just like any other business. You got to look at yourself as a startup. If you don't have the funds to make your business grow, then you either need investors or you need to hustle it up and learn how to do everything yourself. Because, you know, you either hire people or you get good at it yourself. And that's the only way you're really going to make it out of the mess with 100,000 plus new songs dropping on the internet every day.
All right. So for you, as an artist, when it comes to your music, what is your major goal in life?
For me, it's really just to, you know, to connect to somebody, you know, to give somebody the type of inspiration and motivation that I got from Pop, from Nas, from Cube, you know, that can take somebody from, you know, their lowest low and help them find meaning, help them find reason, you know, because as much as we would all love to say, you know, you got fearing this, you read the Bible, you go to church, that's not the reality for a lot of people. A lot of people don't find, you know, their faith until something tragic happens. You know, so for me, like I say, Tupac, listening to Pac really helped me come from a very low, low. And I just hope that my music can catch somebody who's going through something. You know, whether it be their lowest low, their highest high, something that they can connect to that just gives them, you know, motivation and helps them to propel to become their highest self, to level up on their highest plane. Because everything I say in my music, I'm rapping it from a genuine point. You know, I don't try to embellish and tell about somebody else's story. I only tell about what I know, what I've been through, what I've seen. You know, so hopefully the real will connect it, the real will feel it, and they'll be able to connect that to their own personal lives.
All right. Well, I'm most of the time, man, our time has gone by quick. We are almost at the end of the show right now.
I see that.
I want to thank you three-fifths for being on with me this evening.
No doubt. I appreciate you having me.
It was a pleasure. And telling us a little about you and where you're at right now in your life and your music. But before you go, is there anything you would like to say to the fans?
It is.
To your people.
Yeah, no doubt. First and foremost, I just wanted to thank you again, you know, for having me, for supporting independent artists, for putting my music out there, introducing me to a new fan base. You know, outside of that, you know, for the folks that's out there listening, again, I took a little time off to get my mind right, you know, but please go ahead and visit me, www.threefifths.com. That's the number 3FIFS. com. All of my socials are at 3FIFS. Check out my latest projects. You know, my last three singles, Season of the Fall, Smoking the Breeze, and Big Drip videos are out for all of those. And tell a friend to tell a friend you heard somebody dope that you're rocking with. If you're rocking with me, you know, go follow me on IG. That's the one I'm typically on the most. Follow me however you get out there. And I appreciate y'all for listening and entertaining me.
You're welcome, 3FIFS. All right. I want to thank all my listeners. My next show will be scheduled for January 19th, 2023, at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just want to let you guys know, the music showcase has changed from the first of the month of every Saturday to the first Thursday of every month. The show will be hosted by either myself or Elle. And the show will resume next month on Thursday, February 2nd, 2023, at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the show will be hosted for the evening by Elle. Also, when you get a chance, check out our newest show segment, Getting Real with Roz. Her show airs live on January the 16th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Getting Real with Roz broadcast live on the third Monday of every month. So, for my listeners out there, I hope you all enjoyed the show, and that you will come back with me next Thursday and check out and see who I have on with me, whether it be a guest or if it's a highlighted artist. With that said, I hope you all have a nice evening. Good night.